Anna.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry I'm late. I lost track of time. I was mopping.
I'm guilty of it many times. Not to worry about it. But you are the only one on until we are going to start.
Okay. I'm going to mute.
Okay. And, this is a class for the Tani Dibur preparation. We're recording the Psalms in Hebrew and in English and in with some commentaries. The handouts are available on the Unique Astrological Times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or at the bottom if you're using a mobile device. When that link opens up, scroll down to the area that says Preparation for Shovavim, and the two handouts that we'll be using today is titled The Palms Landing Page and the Tanit Dibur handout. When that opens up, it's called Yearning for Redemption. It's a PDF file with the Psalms within it. We are on page 80. We are starting with Psalm 7. We've done the first number of verses, so I will read those verses first, and then we'll go into the verses we haven't read within this psalm. As I said, it's Psalm 7. We'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tebid Hilur Himud Himud Hilur Himud. Beakta l'shem yud he bavav he, b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayinu am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu fenunei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu fenuneihu. Shigayon l'David asher shar la'adonai. Yo hey wahe al divre kush ben yemini Adonai yo hey wahe Elohai becha chasiti oshieni mikol rodfe behatzileni pen yitrof Ka'arye nafshi porek v'en mitzil Adonai Yohei Wahei Elohai Masiti Zot im yesh avel v'kapai im gamati Shoni ra v'achatza tzoreri rekam yaradof avoyev nafshi v'yasig v'yirmot v'aret chayai chaya ukvodi Le'afar yashkin sela. For the new people, we are on Psalm 7. We'll be starting to read the English commentary with Pasuk 7, which is what we are starting on now. It's on page 9 of the Psalm section. It's on page 81 of the PDF file itself. Kuma Adonai Yohei Wahei Be'apecha Hinaseh Be'avrot Orerai Be'urai Elai Mishpat Sivita. Rise up, Hashem. Yud Hey Vav Hey. O merciful Hashem, in your ire, arouse yourself in fury against my adversaries. Footnote 21. Stir up on my behalf the judgment that you yourself commanded in your Torah. Footnote number 22. And I realize that we have done this verse in the previous recording, which is recording number 6. So I'm not going to repeat the footnotes. The 8th verse, Va'adat le'umim chasova vecha li'alecha le'marom shuva. So that a supreme council of the nations will rally round you to recognize your sovereignty, and you will return to preside over it in the heights. There are 6 words in this verse. The number 6 connects to Zeranpin. The number 6 connects to the physical world through the Sefirah of Yesod, which is one of the components of the Zeranpin. There are 29 letters. And the number 29 is an interesting number. It's Kaftet. It's the letters that created the month of Leo, the month of Av, in the Hebrew calendar, which would indicate that this verse connects to the month of Av. And what is the meaning of the month of Av? The name itself expresses it. The word Av means father. It takes this verse, if it was used as a repetitive phrase, would connect you to Hashem. And it's interesting to note that it's that the letters of Hashem is not in the verse. But the word shuva, meaning to return, is in the last word. It's very much a connection to the end of times, to connect, to be able to connect to Hashem. The 9th verse, Adonai Yohei Wahei Yadin Amim. Shafteni Adonai Yohei Wahei Kitzikei Uchtumi Alai. Hashem, merciful God, you will then judge the nations. Judge me as well, Hashem, according to my desire for righteousness and according to my integrity. The first question I would ask is this something that am I really inviting myself to be judged? It's, we're taught always to limit that, those kinds of requests. We don't ask God to test us. We don't ask God to judge us. Yes, it will happen. We know it happens. Why would we be requesting it? I'm not sure what the meaning of this is. There are 8 words in the pasuk, which is an indication of a connection to Bina, to the mother, to the Sefirah of Bina, which is understanding. It's in a connection to our conscious mind, which would now begin to hint at why we would be requesting a judgment upon ourselves. There are 34 letters, and 34 in the reverse order. It's Lamed Dalet, it's the gematria of 34. But in reverse order, the Dalet Lamed represents the concept of lack, poorness. And if we are in that state of lack, then requesting the judge, or the judgment as to why we are in that state of lack, is an appropriate understanding. The 10th verse. Yigmarna ra reshaim utkogen tzadik uvohen libot uklayot Elohim. Tzadik. Bring an end to the evil of those who become trapped in their wickedness. Thus will you establish the righteous man in his way. Thus will Elohim, the righteous God, test hearts and passions. Eleven words connects us to the 10 sephirot and the impure system is the 11th. The 11 components of the incense that draws us closer to Hashem. And the essence of the verse is drawing us closer to Hashem. The 11th pasuk. Magini al Elohim Moshia Yisrael Yisrael. My shield rests upon Elohim. He delivers those who remain upright in heart, denote all the tests that they must endure. The 12th pasuk. Elohim shofet tzadik ve'el zo'ayim b'chol yom. Elohim is a righteous judge, and although El is a loving Hashem, he makes his indignation felt each day. The 23rd footnote is in this verse. In Hebrew, the second half of this verse reads, Ve'el zo'em b'chol yom. El makes his indignation, his rage, felt every day. The Zohar is bothered by the fact that the divine name El, which is usually associated with Hashem's love, is here, associated with his indignation and his rage. The Zohar answers, yes, as a general rule, the name El, wherever it appears, is associated with Chesed, Hashem's love. Indeed, the world continues to exist solely through the awakening of Chesed, as it is written, Chesed El Kol Hayom. God's love sustains the world every day. How then is it associated here with rage? Is Hashem's love turned into rage? No. Wicked. No, rather, each day this quality of chesed literally pushes away all the dinim, all the judgments that are aroused by the wicked, thus preventing them from taking effect. This is the real meaning of the El Zoem B'chol Yom. El makes his indignation felt each day. That is, it is through Hashem's love that he rages against these dinim, these judgments. El makes the And if you pay attention, this is its real meaning. For the word used here is not Nizam or Zeum, both of which would imply that he himself is enraged. No, he himself is not enraged or angry, for he is all chesed. Rather, because of the evil deeds of the wicked, he thus pushes the dinim away and sweetens the world. As another verse fully attests, Yomam Yatzaveh Hashem Chazdo. Each and every day Hashem directs his chesed to the world, thereby sweetening all of the judgments. If not for this, the world couldn't continue to exist for a moment. This is just Rabbi Sutton's comment is reinforcing and explaining for the first time in the Psalms this idea that Hashem is only chesed, is only loving kindness, it's only sharing. That is the nature of Hashem, and there is nothing else within him. But when we describe other things as being within God, we are speaking as our mirror, not as the essence of Hashem. The 13th verse. Im lo yashuv charbo yiltosh kashto darach vayikoneneha. If my enemy does not repent, God himself will therefore sharpen his sword, bend his bow, and prepare it. Rather than translate the word yashuv as repents, which is a normal translation, we should translate it as returning to Hashem. If we don't return to Hashem, we will suffer the consequences. We will cause the consequences. Because the original negative action that separates us from Hashem will have a negative effect, a chaotic event in our life. That's the meaning of his indignation, or that's the meaning of sharpening his sword, bending his bow, preparing to bring that chaos to our lives. But we can stop it by doing teshuvah, by returning to Hashem, by correcting the mistake that we have made. I haven't read this anywhere, but in my opinion, this might be a good repetitive phrase to use in anticipation or to grow the desire to do teshuvah, which is an important aspect of repentance. 14. Willo hekin kilei mavet ki tzav ledol king yifal. But to his surprise, the deadly weapons he has prepared to kill me will be used against him. Hashem will quicken his arrows against those who pursue me. If I return to Hashem, if I do teshuvah, those pursuers cannot find me. That chaos cannot find me. Because I'm not the same person. I may look in the illusion like I'm the same person that everyone knows, but I'm not. I am a very different person, and therefore, the pursuers who are attuned to the old me do not find me, because I am no longer the old me. I have become the new me. I have changed. Verse 15. Hine yechabel awen wechara amal vayalad shaken. Behold, he labors to invent evil schemes. He conceives of mischief and gives birth to falsehood. Who is this person? Who is this entity? It's the judgments rendered by the courts. There are seven words connecting to Shabbat, connecting to the Sefirah Malchut. Letters represents the 12 hours of the day and the 12 hours of the night. The 16th verse. Bor kara vayach terehu vayapo b'shachat yifal. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out, only to fall into the hole which he made for others. Again, I ask, who is the one doing these actions? 17th verse. Yashuv yaimalo perosho v'al kad kado chamaso yared. Let his mischief rebound upon his own head. Let the violence be plotted come down on his own skull. Seven verses connecting to Malchut in seven words. Letters connects to the word, Hebrew word koach, which means strong, strength, power. The 18th verse. O de Adonai Yohe Wahe Ketzid Kovia Azamra Shem. Adonai Yohe Wahe El Yom. As for me, I will thank Hashem forever for the ways in which he executes his just righteousness. I will chant the merciful name of Hashem, Adonai, the Most High, whose love is beyond human conception. This additional phrase that Rabbi Sutton has added is very helpful in understanding the context of this verse, of this particular pasuk. I will now read all 18 verses of the psalm once again in Hebrew, without interruption between the verses. Shagiyon leDavid asher shar laAdonai Yohe wahe al divrei kus ben yemini Adonai Yohe wahe Elohai b'chach asiti Ho shieni mikol Road faith, the heart sileni, pen yitroch ka'aryeh, nafshi porek, ve'en ma'atzil, Adonai Yohe wahe, Elohai im asiti, zot im yesh avel, Kekapai im gamalti shul mira v'achalta toreri reikam yiradoch oyev nafshi v'yasig v'yaseg v'yirmos Laretz chaye ukvodi liafar yashken sela. Kuma Adonai Yohe wahe biapecha hinase Yavrot Tzorerai Be'urai Lai Mishpat Sivita V'yadat Le'umim Tesovecha V'yalecha La'marom Shuva Adonai Yohe Wahe Yadin Amin Shachteni Adonai Yohe Wahe Ketzidki Uktumi Alai Yigmarna Rarashayim Utkonen Tzadik Uvochen Labot Uklayot Elohim Tzadik, Madini al Elohim, Moshia Yishrelev, Elohim Shochet Tzadik, V'al Tzohem, B'chol Yom, Im Lo Yashuv, Charbo Yiltosh, Kashto darach, vayekom necha. Velo hekin kele mavet, chitzav ledokim yifal. Hine yachabel when the Tahara Amal Vayalad Shaker Bor Kedakira Bor Kara Vayah Perehu Waipo Beshachat Yashuv Amalo Berosho V'al Kadkado Chamasod Yerech Ode Adonai Yohe Wahe Kitzit Kovi Azamra Shem Adonai Yohe Wahe Elyon We're now going to return to the Psalms landing page, the location of Tehillim 8, Psalm 8. This is all part of the first day of the monthly cycle. We say these first nine Psalms on that day. This psalm is a glorious praise to Hashem for his kindness to the lowly and mortal human in giving the Torah to the inhabitants of the lower worlds, arousing the envy of the celestial angels. And this idea is expressed in the Yom Kippur prayer. Though your mighty strength is in the angels above, you desire praise from those formed of lowly matter. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this song. This kavanah is straightforward. We are praising Hashem, but we're appreciative of the gift of the Torah that teaches us to praise Hashem. We're appreciative of the ability to praise Hashem, the knowledge to praise Hashem, and I could go on and on with those adjectives. As we say the praises, the consciousness of appreciation must permeate our soul, as well as our body. The first word is Lam Natseach, and this psalm is touching eternity, eternal victory, and it's touching the consciousness of unity in the multiplicity. This is unity by respecting the diversity, each and every aspect of that diversity of creation. There are nine pasukim in this psalm, and this connects us to the Sefirah of Yesod, and also it connects us in the other direction, in the returning light consciousness, to Chachma, to wisdom. Other Hebrew words with this gematria of nine are the words heat and covering. In the frame of Psalms, heat represents passion. And in the same of Psalms, covering represents concealment. Returning to the Yearning for Redemption PDF. Malbim, Rabbi Meir Lebush Weiser.
I know. Can I ask a question right now?
Of course.
Could covering also, beside concealment, also be protection?
Yes, it can be.
Okay. Thank you.
And I thank you for adding that to our study.
Well, this particular Psalms, especially at the beginning of the class, reminded me so much of the Psalm, I think it's 25, creating me a clean heart. You know, that was like crying out for judgment, although we don't really think of it in those terms, but you know, if it's a cry of our heart to always be in right standing, or to strive to be in right standing, you know, and without maybe thinking of it in terms of judgment, it is asking to show us where we need to change. So, okay, I'm going to mute again. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.
Hello.
Continuing.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the handout. Can you tell me what page we're on? I'm a little lost here for the nine Psalms. Is there a page number?
No, you're talking about the Psalm landing page?
Yeah, that you're on, the part that you're reading. If not, that's okay.
No, that's fine, but there are two handouts. One is called the Psalm landing page, and we have just, that's what I just finished reading. And that's for each psalm. I have added some additional items. And over time, I will, you know, when I'm talking to you about the for those verses where I've counted the words and counted the letters, we really need to do that for each one of the verses and include that in the section of the Psalms landing page, because those numbers are going to direct you to certain energies that are helpful in understanding the Psalm. So that's why I'm doing it. Then the commentary by Rabbi Sutton, which is where we're starting right now, and I'm really just going to, I think from looking at the time, I'm just going to read the introduction to it. That is on page 82 of the handout of the PDF file itself. But it's a different page number in the section of Psalms. You give me a second, I'll look it up. It's page 10 of the section of the that has the Psalms.
Okay.
So the page numbers can be confusing if you're not familiar with it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Tehillim 8, Psalm 8. The Malbim, Rabbi Meir Lebush Weiser, he wrote, "This psalm contends with the philosophers who minimized man's importance in the universe and considered absurd the claim that man is somehow the crown of creation. God's chosen portion in the world. Our own sun is nothing more than a drop in a vast sea of stars and suns that make up the Milky Way. Could anyone in their right mind look up and claim that all this was created to illuminate the earth, whose very existence is nullified into total insignificance? The question becomes even more absurd when we hear that they were created for man, who is a mere speck of mortal dust relative to the planet which serves as his home. would a wise craftsman prepare tools weighing thousands of tons, the cosmos, in order to manufacture a single tiny needle, man? Those who believe in the Torah, however, know that the entire cosmos was created for man, for it is through man that the entire cosmos will reach perfection and be brought to fulfill its ultimate purpose. They know that the entire universe was brought into existence for man's sake, and that the entire human race was created for the sake of those who would keep the mitzvot and ordinances of the Creator. The philosophers who claim that everything from the point of view of their material aspects, their quantity, when they beheld the orb of the sun, thousands of times larger than the earth, they judged the earth insignificant, but their judgment lacked wisdom. For it is known that the work of a master craftsman is not judged by its size, but rather by the sum total of knowledge that went into producing this work. The more laws and wisdom and knowledge brought to bear, the greater the value of the work. All the more so if all this wisdom and know-how are concentrated in something small and exquisite in the millimeter. Exquisite to the millimeter. Now behold, the revolution of the stars and planets are all subject to one natural law, the law of gravity, which is shared by all physical objects. This one law, which the Creator made part of the nature of physical objects, governs the motions of the stars and planets. When we contemplate plant life, we see greater complexity. We see the wondrous wisdom encoded in each cell. Each species is capable of reproducing its own kind. The animal kingdom exhibits even greater complexity. In addition to preserving and maintaining all the laws that govern the inanimate world of elements and minerals, and the animate vegetable world, and the Creator reckoned new, more wondrous laws to govern the development of the functioning of each and every inner organ and limb, as well as to oversee their working in perfect unison. How much wisdom went into designing the eye, the ear, the brain? I will just add two comments. One, philosophers, I don't think came into existence until into the civilization grew strong enough to have a philosopher. Because if you're worried about eating, if you're worrying about finding food and building shelter, finding shelter to keep you out of the rain and the snow and the cold weather and the hot weather, you're not thinking about philosophy. The second point I wish to make is something that is really phenomenal when one thinks about it, and I suggest you contemplate this. Science tells us that the Earth is insignificant. It's not in the center of the galaxy. It's not even in the center of the universe. It's way out on one edge. But from the frame of man, the Earth is the center of the universe. Because as we look out upon the stars, we see in all directions the same distance. That makes it the center of the universe. So in one frame of reference, we're insignificant. And in another frame of reference, we're the center of everything. This is the beginning of understanding the 70 phrases, the 70 understandings of each verse, and some say each letter in the Torah. This is where we will stop for today. And tomorrow at 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will pick up with the 9 verses of Tehillim 8. Classes today at 4:30 is a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock will be a regular Zohar class on the Parasha of Vayera. Shalom to each and every one. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom, Brandy.
Thank you.
Thank you.